You've heard of double-decker buses. Well, today in question period in the provincial legislature, BC United leader Kevin Falcon referred to or brought up a new term called double-decker portables. He was, of course, referring to the significant amount of portables that you see in Surrey. It's a community with over 600,000-plus residents, growing by up to 1,500 new residents per month. It's expected to surpass the population of Vancouver in very short order, but there's a problem with all that growth. Surrey is heading towards 400 portables in that district, and of course communities do add portables to their respective schools, but in the case of Surrey, they're now talking about stacking portables, if you can believe. Joining me now to talk a little bit about this growth and some of the challenges is Linda Anna. She's a Surrey First City Councillor in Surrey. Linda, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeff.
You're a municipal councillor. Education is a provincial issue. Why are you so concerned about this issue?
Well, it's really a three-way partnership. The city has a part to play in it. Obviously, the school board does and the provincial government. As a city councillor, I am calling on the province to work much more closely with the city and with the school district. Having 400 portables in our city just isn't on, and we know that we've got about 2,500 more children coming to our school system each and every year, which is at least a two or three schools, and we're not keeping up, and we need to do a better job.
Shouldn't the onus be on the provincial government just to build more schools right now rather than the municipal council having to worry about all of these issues?
Absolutely. The provincial government needs to be building much more schools in Surrey. We're being left behind. We know that Surrey is the home to many, many young families, and we just don't have the schools that we should have. Our portable count is going up each and every year. We're not keeping up with the growth, and we need to be looking at innovative ways so that we can address this shortage. It takes up to 5 years to get a school built.
Yeah, so when you say innovative ways, how does the provincial government work with the municipal government? Because your job generally is community centers, approval for housing, those types of things. How would the municipal government help in regards to schooling and getting schools built, or at least reducing the amount of portables that are there?
Well, in a couple of ways. First of all, we have to do better forecasting in terms of knowing the number of children that are going to be going into our schools, and that's a job of both the city and the provincial government. We also need to be working with developers, and I'll just point to a specific area. We've got the SkyTrain going in down Fraser Highway. We know there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people moving in there, with many with children, and we need to be working perhaps with developers using part of their complexes for schools that are perhaps in their podium, so they're actually part of the condominium complexes.
So you're saying as they're building, that you would recommend that they either build the schools themselves within these condominium complexes, or is this a case of they supply some of those dollars that would go to build schools for specific subdivisions?
Well, each developer, when they're building multi-scale developments, pays a community amenity charge to the city. And I'm suggesting perhaps in lieu of that, they provide the space for a school, and that can be part of the overall condominium complex. Great way for families to just be able to go down the elevator and take your children to school.
Is that the problem, though, just a lack of land? Surrey still has a lot of land that you could find for schools. Is that what you think has been hindering Surrey, that the provincial government can't find land?
Well, no, it's creativity, and it's getting out ahead and not waiting till the residents move into the area and then building the school. We need to be more proactive. We need to have the schools ready so that when the families move to Surrey, their children have a place to go to school.
Is this not a deeper issue? And what I mean by that is that Surrey is right now in the midst of this whole Surrey policing conversation. It's been going on for a long time, which you know very well. Surrey, even after, whether it's RCMP or Surrey Police Service, at the end of the day, you still do not have enough police officers in Surrey for the size of your community compared to, let's say, Vancouver. Now, Vancouver's unique in the sense that it's got the downtown east side, it's got downtown Vancouver, but essentially communities in regards to population similar in size, but you have significantly less police. You also have a community that's fast growing in Surrey. You because it has significantly less hospitals compared to Vancouver as well. Isn't this a greater commentary? And now when you get to schools, isn't this a greater commentary that, you know, the Surrey elected officials, and I mean municipally, but provincially especially as MLAs, that's mostly NDP out there, that they have not been lobbying hard enough for greater dollars and more of these schools being built. And that's not an NDP complaint here. I think you could say the same thing about BC Liberals when they were in as well. That for some reason, Surrey collectively as a community, its elected class, whatever it may be, its business community, does not lobby hard enough with the provincial government to not only build in that community, but build fast enough.
Jazz, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, our transit is absolutely horrific here in Surrey. We've got one hospital, arguably, in Surrey, and we've got one that is coming at some time down the road, and it's not a big hospital. It doesn't serve the size of a city of Surrey. We're lacking in schools. You know, we aren't getting what we should be getting from the provincial government, and I think as a city councillor and, you know, as all elected officials serving the city of Surrey, we need to be advocating much louder to get our fair share. We're long overdue.
It's fascinating to me, Linda. I had the chair of the Vancouver School Board on yesterday. I had Jen Ugama, who is a PAC chair of Ideal Mini School, a school with only about 100 or so students. And that program in Vancouver is going to be moved to Churchill Secondary with 2,000 students. The environment is better in a much smaller smaller school for those kids, according to the parents. Vancouver, according to Ms. Jung, since 1998, has been seeing a slowly losing students, to the point the debate now is, are they trying to maximize the land that they have for renting it out to other groups? Or are they trying to sell some of these properties as well? Yet in Surrey, as you say, is it $2,500 students a year that you're growing by now? It's an exact 180-degree turn from where Vancouver is in regards to growth.
It is absolutely, and we need to be getting creative. You know, we need to be looking at building multiple school sites at a time. Certainly, it's much less expensive if you can build multiple schools at one time in terms of, you know, efficiencies with the tradespeople, you know, getting supplies and all of that. And we need to be thinking out of the box because we need to resolve this problem. The kids in Surrey don't deserve to be in portables from grade 1 through to grade 12. That shouldn't be acceptable, and it's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Linda, thank you so much for your time. Before you go, I do have to ask you, any thoughts on what's going to happen with the Surrey policing decision on Friday in your mind? Any intel that you may have gathered?
Well, I just will be glad when this is over, when we finally have made a decision, or the provincial government has made a decision, and we can move forward, move off this topic, and get down to doing other things that we need to be doing here in Surrey, like advocating for more schools and transit and hospitals.
Linda, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.